WTGIF, live from the Skyline Studios, high above Columbus and Wacker Drive. Hope you're having a good Friday. It's me, Anna DeVlantis. And hey, on this Friday, we will be tracking the winter weather that's heading our way. I know I heard Steve Bertrand say at the top of the hour what starts coming in about 3 o'clock. Is that right, Steve?
Well, the advisory starts at 2 to the far western suburbs, and for the immediate Chicago area, more like 5 o'clock.
Okay, so a little bit later on then. You said snow totals 1 to 4 inches, which
one
depends
inch to
on where
the
you
south,
are.
Right, but more like 4 to the north.
Yeah.
But then sleet and rain and all of that, and then it gets really cold. So the key, Demetrius said yesterday, the key is you've got to shovel it early tomorrow because it'll get frigid and freeze like ice.
Good to know.
So that's the advice.
That kind of snow. All right. Well, we'll track that, as I said, as it does move in this afternoon here on WGN. And here's what's coming up on the show. And then I want to get to the Chicago Accent Hall of Fame. Chicago Magazine is out with it. And it's pretty funny. They look at the finalists for the Chicago accents, the best Chicago accents. And we're going to talk about that coming up. But it looks like sex education in Illinois schools could be changing the curriculum. So it's not going to all look like how it did when you went to school or I went to school or any of us went to school. They're going to include sexting as part of the curriculum. And that's what lawmakers want them to do. We have the former head of one of the FBI's counterintelligence units here to talk about why that is very important. There's the legal part of it. There's the social part of it. I mean, the world's changing, you know. It's something that kids need to know about. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out.
I cannot imagine growing up now with your
Isn't it tough? You think cell about
phone.
That.
I know. Back then, we would write in our diaries maybe something, you know, private and important. But
and
now
it was private.
Right.
Now
but,
it's a permanent imprint yes. of what you thought when you were 14 or 15 or what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. Social media now has taken the place of the diary, but it's out there for everyone to see your thoughts and what you're thinking and who you like and who you don't like. And then if you're Oh my goodness!
Yeah, hard to keep track, you know, as a parent. And but then there are also they feel so strongly about this that they're probably going to make it part of the permanent mandatory curriculum.
It's important.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll find out more about that. Also, have you ever heard of a master laughter teacher? Doesn't that sound great?
Like, do they teach you how to laugh properly? Is
no,
there a proper
no, no, no.
way?
It just makes you laugh. There's a certificate for this and a training program, and it's kind of a global program. There's a couple locally. Here, a married couple, actually, so not just one, but two master laughter teachers. They're going to join us. They have a laughter club in Park Ridge. I want to learn more about that. I don't know much about it, but they get together. They laugh. What happens there?
Do they tickle you?
I don't know.
There's probably no touching that happens.
Yeah.
It's probably just too dangerous to run a business
that's
involved.
Yes. Different type of class. So they have a class this weekend in Chicago that everyone's invited to. So you might want to go to it. And here's their promise. This is so interesting. They engage you in prolonged, unconditional laughter.
That's perfect. I love a good belly laugh, the kind that shakes your entire body.
That's what I think they do.
That's perfect.
So, you know, we're going to find out more from them. This couple, it's really, really fun, and they teach these classes. There's one this weekend, and we'll learn from them what it is they do. Plus, the story behind Illinois' richest man getting called out by the president by name, thought he was in the room. He wasn't. Apparently, he RSVP'd. We're talking about Ken Griffin,
yes.
The Citadel hedge fund guy who's worth boku bucks, right? And he was supposed to be there, apparently, RSVP'd according to the White House. And when he called out his name, it was just a very interesting moment. We'll play that audio and then find out the backstory of what Ken Griffin says now about what happened there.
Can you just say that you were in the washroom? Or that you were taking a call that you just didn't happen to be
Very
at the table
important person.
At the moment?
Yeah. Could have been at a call. All kinds of things. But there is an answer. We'll find out that as well. And then we're going to talk about relationships in our 2 o'clock hour with Bella Gandhi from Smart Dating Academy. Maybe you've heard of ghosting because that's been around for a while. Big popular term when you just sort of suddenly stop talking to someone. You won't answer their calls. You're not texting them or anything like that. But what about benching?
Benching?
Benching, like you're benching
like you
a player
have,
on a team.
So you just have somebody in wait.
Back burner. You're
okay.
a back burner person.
That makes
just
sense.
Enough communication to keep them around.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Keep them
Familiar
on the
with this, Steve.
Keep them on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Keep them there handy.
Every time I'm on the times that I have been on a dating app, I've looked at the photos that the guys put up, and I always think, Bella needs to talk to each of these guys. These photos are awful.
Yeah, because she does do that, too. She helps people sort of present yourself to the world to give yourself the best possible outcomes. Then there's the textationship, too. We're going to talk about that, too. But let's get to the Chicago accent here, because Chicago Magazine is out with the Chicago Accent Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame, and it's actually written by a guy who had co-hosted the Chicago Accent Contest right here on WGN Radio a few months back, or Justin Kaufman did a regular sort of bit with this, and it was fun, but they came down to the Hall of Fame. We're going to get to some of this in trending topics later on in the show. We do that about 1:40 every day, but let's hear from Alderman Anthony Napolitano. He's one of them, because I think we have time to play his here. He's not only an alderman from the Northwest Side, he's Italian, firefighter, and he's talking.
That's the perfect combination.
And he has a firm grasp of the substitution of the TH for the D. You know, dat, where's dat? You know, can you get me dat, right? The dat?
Dat.
He does that well. And the Bears. Instead
the Bears.
Of, right? No TH. You got the D. He's got that figured out. And here we have a little bit from, do we have that jazz? Alderman Nick Spazzato in the Hall of Fame for the Chicago Accents.
We can have a handful of candidates here that get elected that can change the way things are done for police and fire in the city of Chicago. If you're not on board with that, I don't understand.
Chicago.
Chicago.
I like that part, too. You know,
I love it.
And
Chicago.
Then the jobs. Jobs is one of my favorite. Instead of the O, the O is just takes on very different pronunciation here in
I
Chicago.
Love the Chicago accent.
Use. That's one of my favorites. Use. I had a Northwestern prof one time who said he wanted to figure out who was from Chicago, so he just said the phrase, jeet yet?
Jeet yet? I love
now
it.
You understand that,
yes.
Right?
Jeet yet? Yeah, did you eat yet?
Did you eat yet?
Did you eat yet?
And literally, the people who were not from Chicago looked around at each other like, what is he talking about? What's he saying?
I find it charming. I love it.
I love it, too. You know, and it's said in a such a polite way sometimes, too, like, hey, you's finished there? You's finished? Like, and I like, you know, it's like, yeah.
It warms my heart.
Me, too. Honestly, I missed it when I had to move away from my broadcasting career. Being from here and growing up here and going to Chicago Public Schools and having people, different family members who work in city government and things like that. It was just a familiar sort of comforting accent to hear.
I love the Chicago accent because it's very efficient. I grew up with a Southern accent, and everyone draws out everything, draws it out.
Right, like the word it can be multiple syllables.
Yes, yeah. And I like how efficient and quick and snappy a Chicago accent is.
And just how it's all our own, you know? Okay, so just a spoiler alert, OB makes the list. Robin Baumgarten makes the list from Channel 9, and it's just a fun list. We're going to listen to more of that again, like I said, throughout the show and coming up in trending topics.
That is so fun.
Isn't it fun?
I just,
so many great people on this list, OB being one of them. I mean, who doesn't love listening to OB on WGN Radio for the Bears?
My God.
It's always his line.
Yeah, the O, there's the O again, the ah. My God.
Gad. Yep. Rhymes with jabs. Gad and jabs. It's all, it's beautiful. It's just a beautiful thing. So that's coming up on the show. And also, so I said Bella Gandhi is going to be here. Molly Page, can't forget to talk about this. 100 Things to Do in Chicago Before You Die. That's her original book. But I asked her to compile a list. I'm like, Molly, how about in winter? Are any of your things doable in winter? She says, oh, yeah. But she came up with a few other things to suggest. Now that we got this winter weather moving in, thought it was perfect time.
That was clever of you, because it's easy to find things to do in the summertime, but it's in the wintertime you have to get yourself out of the mindset of being a bear and just hibernating for all of winter.
You need real motivation to get out, and she's got it. She's got it. So that's coming up, and much more come here on WGN Radio, so stay with us. From the Skyline Studio, this is Anna DeVellantis here on WGN Radio. Thanks for listening, and happy Friday to you. We were talking about the Chicago Accent Hall of Fame. If you have any nominations, let us know. 312-981-7200. There's already the list, but there are just so many more. I mean, you think about the Bears super fans, and you think about so many people who make the Chicago accent famous. I think we have a little bit of a familiar voice here around Channel 9 and WGN.
I can't believe this is the first time you've been on this set.
The first time, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to sit next
And it will be the
Larry.
Last, I'd like to announce now. Yes, I did. They switched all the seating around just so I could
sleep with Larry.
It's our first date. I got to tell you, I'm watching this Escape from Dannemora, and it's such a great show.
So that's Robin Baumgarten, who makes the list of the Hall of Fame for Chicago accents. The full list is coming up. It's just beautiful. Dr. Dilara Saeed is here with us. Are you a Chicagoan?
I am a Chicagoan.
You are. You don't have that Chicago accent. That real Chicago accent, though, even though I know you're from the neighborhoods.
I didn't realize I had a Chicago accent until I went to the East Coast for school. And then they just had me picked off the minute I got there. It was, oh, you're from the Midwest. Where? Chicago? And I was like, how did you know?
It's that nasally thing that we have. Yeah. I know I hear that. But I should introduce you. You're a board member for the Chicago Women's March. It's tomorrow. And even though the winter weather is moving in this afternoon, it's still on. And you usually have thousands and thousands of people who show up for this. Starts in, what, Grant Park?
11 a.m. is kickoff for the Chicago Women's March Chicago. So Women's March Chicago, 11 a.m. at Grant Park, Columbus and Jackson.
And everyone's welcome. You tell everybody to come on out, right? Men, too. It's even the Women's March, but you see a lot of men in the crowd.
Absolutely. We see women, we see men, we see children, we see grandparents. It's wonderful. You know, marches motivate.
Yeah, they do. And I think so. It's interesting because you've built it up over 3 years here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It started 3 years ago, and you can go to your website and tell me what that is again if you want to check it out.
womensmarchchicago.org.
And there's a gallery of issues, and there's so many issues. It's this pretty broad, this big umbrella now of things that you are actually standing up for. Give us a taste of what are some of the things you are fighting for. And this is you call it an activist. You're promoting activism and pushing sort of to let legislators know about the kinds of issues you want them to pay attention to.
Absolutely. 2020 will be critical, Anna. Mm-hmm. And so we want to use the march to kick off this very important year. And we want marchers to stay activated all throughout the year. So during the march, after the march, how do you continue learning about issues or getting more involved or becoming a leader? So we, on our website, womensmarchchicago.org, you'll go to Gallery of Issues. And throughout the march, you'll also walk through a gallery of issues. So every issue that we care about and you care about, we want to hear.
Healthcare is a big one. There's healthcare. No question about it. I don't care if you have insurance or you don't have insurance. It doesn't matter. You know, healthcare, everyone sort of seems to have a story, if not themselves, but within their family, about how things are not working well in that area for them.
Census 2020, right? Every 10 years, the U.S. government counts every single one of us, from babies to grown-ups to elders. So 2020 census will be an issue that we're focusing on in this march.
Mm-hmm.
What about gun violence prevention? Something our city, our state, our nation just has to do something about. Too many lives lost.
I think so often, though, these are politicized, right? So there's a liberal way of handling it. There's the Republican way of handling it. There's the progressive. It just feels as if everyone wants to brand this in terms of a policy that only allies with one party. But are you being very inclusive with this? I mean, conservative women are allowed to come, as well as if you're progressive, it doesn't matter where you lie on the spectrum. And then how do you approach it so that everyone feels included with the solutions?
Yeah. We're not just allowing people to come. We're saying it's your right to come. It is your right to come and share what you care about and how you care about it. And you will see the gambit. When we have signs that people take photos of, and you see them all around this week, you'll see that signs plastered on social media and on television, et cetera. The signs represent every walk of life. They represent every race, every demographic, every class, every political leaning. And so, we invite you to come. It is your right to come. Tell us about the issues you care about. Bring a sign. The best signs are ones that marchers seem to make.
And the ones that are really, personal, I suppose. Those are, they can be very inspirational. Absolutely. We have a comment here, 630, I'm a woman. I don't feel like you march for me because I'm a conservative. I know that pro-life groups have not been invited in the past, and I also support the Second Amendment. But you're saying those people are welcome. Has there been a sort of a any kind of like resolution on that, because some of those people didn't feel like they were included or invited in the past?
Mm-hmm. And we'll all continue to work on that, right? We have a polarized America. We don't want to do that when it comes to opportunities to let people let their voices be heard. So if we're not inclusive enough, push us towards that. Mm-hmm. We promise to get better at it. And every march, you can see we've been getting better at the demographics, the inclusiveness of the communities, the kinds of people that come out in march and the issues they tell us about. And so, yeah, we are holding an opportunity here and a platform for people to share.
And you get, the first year you had something, I just remember seeing the aerial views of it. And I mean, that tells you something about the turnout, because usually you can get enough video on the ground, but the news choppers had to get up above because there were so many thousands. And even last year, a really strong showing, right?
Oh, yes. I was sharing with you earlier, we're historically terrible at predicting how many people come. But what we know is people come. It doesn't matter what the weather is. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how cold or how rainy. People come. The first year we had so many people, we actually had to shut down that whole space and that area. And it got to be just an amazing expression of unity in terms of we want our voices heard.
When you think about what motivated you to do this, because you're a busy professional, you have a lot going on in your own life, and you decided to get involved, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right when it started, the first Chicago Women's March happened. So what was it for you that you said, hey, I need to get out there, I want to be part of this, you're a board member now?
Sure.
What's the motivating force for you?
I think the key was being in a space where my passion for the issues that I care about was not just matched, but I was inspired by the passion of thousands and thousands around me. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, the work will continue the day after. The work is continuing the day before the march. But being in the march, it felt the sense of fellowship, the sense of camaraderie, the sense that, you know, the world can get better. And look around me. All these people are working towards that.
Our guest is Dr. Dilara Saeed. She's a board member for Chicago's Women's March. It's tomorrow. It starts in Grant Park. It opens at 9 a.m., but you start marching at 11, mm-hmm. right? So people can start bundle up and be ready for some winds maybe, but watch the forecast for sure because we have that snow moving in tonight. And then you can get out there. You go march from Columbus Drive in Jackson, and then you end at Federal Plaza.
Yes.
How long of a march is that?
It's a five-block march.
Yeah.
And this year, it is being led by our Marchers with Disabilities and the Wayfinder volunteers that are working with them. So at the start of the march at 11 a.m., you will see all our Marchers with Disabilities. They are highlighted. They are a key part of our community that we want to herald and celebrate. And then we will have our elected officials. You know, we all worked so very hard for our elected officials over these last few years so that we would have strong women in office. And so we will be led by Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who today, this morning, held her MLK breakfast and then also spoke at the breakfast about census and the issues. We will be led by Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, who at our state level is really a champion for issues such as health care and others. And we will be led by our congresswomen, Jan Schakowsky, Robin Kelly, and several others. So, really,
so there's speeches at the end or the beginning? When does that happen?
No speeches.
You assembled all those politicians and somehow there are no speeches?
Not only are they not giving a speech, they're actually volunteering to be wayfinders. So they will be part.
What's a wayfinder?
A wayfinder is a marcher that is helping a fellow marcher of disabilities.
Oh, so that is the theme this year.
Yeah. So we're
spotlighting
spotlighting
people with disabilities of all sorts.
Absolutely. And then the issues we all care about.
Okay.
So yes, we're marching, but we're marching for a cause. We're marching for 2020 to be the change we want to see.
Who would you say comes out for this? What's the male-female ratio? And do women, I've seen several people I know have brought like their husbands or they brought their kids. And
sure.
It seems, you know, a lot of people just, they come out to support whatever the issue is. A lot of times there's a personal issue that drives someone out and they make their boards and they, you know, have their poster boards and that kind of thing and walk.
Collecting some of that data, because you're asking some great questions, and we want to collect that data over the years
to come.
Maybe
hard to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, this year we also did implement a text. So if you text March, M-A-R-C-H, to 91999, What we are collecting is some kind of data on, like, who comes out. You know, what zip code do you live in, and what are the issues you care about? So we will have some information, hopefully post this March and in Marches to come ahead, which helps us understand the men-women ratio. But what we see a lot more of over the last couple of years are, like I said, our families.
Yeah, we have What About Climate Change? I know that's one of the issues you do have on here, and you have a number of local agencies participating, including the Illinois Environmental Council, Youth Climate Strike, Chicago Metro Agency for Plant. I mean, you've got a huge number of supporters here, people who are going to be out in force just from organizations across the city of Chicago.
Every issue matters, so every voter should bring the signs or the swag for their issue. But we have over 55 organizations working with us on the five blocks of issues. Census, gun violence protection, prevention, climate justice, health, and voting. So those five issues are ones we're highlighting for 2020. We hope to have a tradition of highlighting different ones every year. We have over 55 organizations working in that space. And then we have hundreds, dozens of organizations that are bringing groups that are registering. And you can also go on our website, womensmarchchicago.org, and register your group so we can amplify them on social media.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for being here, Dr. Dilara Saeed, board member for Chicago Women's March. Show up tomorrow. Doesn't matter what the weather is.
Dress
warm. You all are going to be out there.
We will be there.
Dress warm. And then you start marching 10 a.m. in Grant Park. Probably public transportation is a good idea because in that location.
We recommend public transportation.
Yeah.
We recommend coming with family and friends and making it a great event. And we recommend bringing whatever you'd like to show us you're caring about. And Anna, I'll look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you. And I want to hear about the data, too, afterwards, when you learn, you know, kind of learn a little more about who's showing up and how the activism actually translates into more and movement, right? Because that's ultimately what you're going for.
Yeah. We want to connect organizations and to the marchers who care about them.
That's awesome. All right, Dilara, thank you for talking to us about it. We appreciate it. And we'll see you soon. See you tomorrow. We'll see you out there.
See you tomorrow.
Also, we want to talk with the Master Laughter teachers. They're here in studio, and they're going to tell us more about how they have this laughter club, and they have a laughter course you can take or you can show up for as part of a festival going on in Chicago this weekend. So that's kind of cool. Tell you about that. We've been talking about Chicago accents, and thank you for your texts and letting us know some of the things you say in your family. French room. My front room.
Oh, yeah.
This one texter says her kids wrote a big sign that was making fun of the parents, saying, "French room. Hey, where's the French room?"
That's amazing.
Isn't that great? You must have them in your the Lapka family, Lauren.
Oh, everyone has. I think just in general, every Chicagoan has their few words that it stands out a lot more. Like, I'm not one of those people that say sausage or really say Chicago too hard, but I say car, garbage, and salad. Those are my really
salad.
Chicago.
What's wrong with salad?
Salad. See,
I didn't hear that.
Exactly. I don't hear it. But when I lived in Oregon, when I went to school in Indiana, when I lived in Missouri, they're like, "What's a salad?"
They used to tell me to say roof again. How do you say that again? The top of a house. Roof. No, it's roof. I don't know. It just is what it is. It's fun. We have more of that coming up because there's a lot. We've got the Hall of Fame from Chicago Magazine, the Chicago Accent Hall of Fame. Couple of GN mentions there and some other local celebrities as well. So we'll continue to talk about that. But hey, listen to this. Ever heard of a master laughter teacher? I had not until I read about this amazing couple who are just stepped into the studio here with me. They have a laughter club in Park Ridge. They've got a class they're teaching this weekend, and they promise to engage you in prolonged, unconditional laughter, even if you have no sense of humor. And that's quite the promise. Please say hello to Sherry and Frank Avila. How are you guys doing? You're married, right? You two have been a couple for a long time.
Yes. We've been married 54 years. No arguments, only discussions.
Well, if you're laughing all the time, how do you have time for that? There we go. We got our first laugh. I already tested it off air. You have great laughs and great smiles, too. So how did this come about? I don't think most of us have ever heard of a laughter teacher before. And there really is a certification for this, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, we got started with laughter clubs. We saw an ad in the newspaper, local paper, that said there was a laughter club. And we thought, well, that sounded interesting and different. And then we went to the laughter club, and we just had a ball. We just loved it. and we met. Actually, we still have friends from the original laughter club. The original master teacher Linda Toloukas has moved to Las Vegas, but she actually gave us our certifications.
How do you get a certification in the laughter?
You know, the government of India invited us to go to India. They give workshops on how to maintain operating wastewater plants. And the person that originated laughter yoga was in Bangalore. So we took a plane to Bangalore and spent a week there and for a laughing workshop. And we had people from all over the world go ahead and take this workshop. And we even had the Catholic Church sending two Jesuits down there to learn laughing to teach for missionary work.
Now, are you learning how to laugh? Or are you learning, you just getting together to laugh?
Getting together to...
A combination of both, I would say.
So you show... Okay, just bring us back to this so I can understand. You go to the first laughter club meeting.
Yes.
And what happens? What happens?
Okay, you want me to demonstrate a laugh?
Yes, please.
Okay. So you take a deep breath, and then you go...
I'm going to turn down your microphone there. So that's what happens. Oh, my gosh. That's not what I expected.
That's laughing.
Okay.
See, because you're...
No, I get it.
You're taking out the bad oxygen, and when you laugh and you breathe in the good oxygen. So you're cleaning your body up.
So it's sort of this therapeutic thing that comes.
Oh, for sure.
As we all know, right, when you laugh, there's something about it. It's hard to...
Your endorphins are going, everything in your body is going, and you're staying healthy. Health, laughing is the best medicine.
You've always heard that, and there's some truth to that, right?
There's a lot of truth to that, yeah.
So you went to the meeting, and you guys immediately were like, this is great.
Sure.
Got to do this.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Because the key is playfulness and eye contact if you're with a group. You can do
so. You have to look at someone in the eye while you're doing that big laugh that you just did.
Look in the eye, and playfulness. Playfulness is important.
So those are some of the keys.
Oh yeah, and it keeps you healthy.
And one thing that's kind of interesting is 1 minute of laughter is supposed to be equal to 10 minutes of cardio.
Oh, so there's some weight loss options there. Like there's a benefit to your weight.
Yes,
or at very least cardio.
We'll count it as that, right?
1 minute of laughter.
So, do people tell jokes then?
No jokes.
No jokes.
There are no jokes. Nobody's telling jokes.
No, technically no sense of humor, though I think that might be a matter of relativity.
So you can have a sense of humor to go, but you don't have to have a sense of humor to go.
No. Right. And no jokes, no comedians.
No comedians. They're not allowed?
This is technically unconditional laughter. However, when we went to the Laugh Fest up in Ferryville, Wisconsin.
There's a Laugh Fest.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Laugh Fest did actually have a comedian.
Because laughing is contagious.
It is. Oh, that's so true.
Yeah,
that
sure,
is so true.
Sure, sure. He goes to Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, and we get a big bang out of the Girl Scouts.
What do the Girl Scouts do when you're with them?
Tell them about the ages, Sherry. The 5-6 years old.
5-6 year old kids.
They love laughing.
Yeah, they really enjoy laughing. Oh. In fact, we did it with our granddaughter, and she, all the way home, she would be singing and laughing our song, our different chants.
We have a question from a listener, 847. Do you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth? Is there a system of the right way to do this big laugh you just showed us, Frank?
Well, we'll take a deep breath and go. Yeah.
Okay, wait. Well, let me turn your mic on slightly because it's a little too overmodulated when you do that full on woo laugh. Well,
you take a deep breath and normally what I do, I take three breaths. I go, breathe out. Second one.
Okay, I'm with you.
Then the third one, when you breathe out, you laugh. Right.
Okay. Here we go.
And so you're breathing in the good air, and you're breathing out the CO2 in your body.
That's awesome. That is so amazing.
Actually, people can have small laughs, medium-sized laughs, or large laughs. The advantage of being in the laughter club is that we accept you no matter what laugh you have. Plus,
how about that? Where can you find that these days?
Some people might not have any laugh at all. They might want to just sit there and listen to the laughter, and that's okay, and they will still benefit from being in the room listening to the laughter.
So it makes them laugh, probably.
Yes. 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 Because, you know, on my job, they, you know, we treat, on my job, we treat pee and poop.
What does that mean?
The wastewater plant.
Oh, you're over there.
Yeah,
the wastewater plant. So you got to laugh a little about that.
And they want us to remove all the pharmaceuticals, which you can't. So Sherry and I, we said, well, let's go and start a prevention program in laughing. You know, laughing is the best medicine. And this way they take less pharmaceuticals if we encourage everyone to start laughing and smile and be nice to people.
Hey, what a good message is that? Who can argue with that, right? Who argues with that? So you got these teaching certificates in laughter, and now you teach these courses?
Oh, yes.
We could teach the courses, but we need laughter courses also, and sometimes we substitute for other laughter leaders.
Okay, so then let's get to the part that's going on this weekend, because everyone's invited, right? Someone's listening right now, they say, I want to check this thing out. This seems a little outrageous, but also pretty cool. What happens? It's the festival this weekend, the Encore Ideas Festival, and you're one of the featured speakers.
Yes.
Laughers, I guess.
Yes.
So where do they go for this?
They go to 7-Eleven West Monroe.
Okay. And the whole event is 11 to 2 p.m. The cost is $15.
Yes.
How about that?
Economical.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
You get this and a whole bunch of other different speakers. It's like a TED Talk local, but a lot of you guys are all local.
Yes. Staying healthy.
On the second floor.
So have you noticed from doing this laughter, these laughter classes and seeing so many people engage in this laughter or stuff, that there's a health benefit? Are you finding people?
Like, excellent. This is, Sherry, explain some of the health benefits.
What do people say?
It boosts the immune system, decreases four stress response hormones, increases endorphin and dopamine, increases respiration, pain reduction, as we said before, cardiac exercise, lowers blood pressure, muscle relaxation, lowers blood sugar. In fact, one of the talks I gave was at a diabetes support group.
Man.
And improves digestion.
How about that?
And it's free. Laughing.
Yes,
it's true. You don't have to buy a Peloton bike to do that, right? It's not a big expense. And then the laughter yoga, is that going to be part of this thing this weekend?
Yes.
That as well. Or you just talk about it?
No, we're just going to talk and give demonstrations.
Demonstrations?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to give laughing.
Sherry's not so sure about that.
We're doing a 1 hour presentation.
1 hour presentation on the laughter.
Yes.
Okay. Well, check them out. Sherry and Frank Avila, they are going to be at the Encore Ideas Festival. What's the Encore Ideas Festival? Like we said, it's sort of like a TED Talk, but a lot of local people with some really cool health types of things to know that are really fun, and you make it fun. So you go 11 to 2 at 7-Eleven West Monroe Street, right downtown. Cost is only $15, and it's Sunday, this Sunday.
Yes.
So check it out. Thanks, you guys, for sharing that with us.
Oh, thank you.
I did not know about this. And I'm glad that we learned. So enjoy the weekend and make people laugh. And thank you. Thanks for sharing it. Coming up here on WGN Radio, we want to talk about that sex education change, the potential changes in Illinois schools. They might mandate it so that everyone in middle school and high school, that kids are going to have a very different curriculum than we had when you and I went to school, or anyone went to school. It's going to be including sexting in all kinds of issues in the digital age. We have a FBI, former FBI, head of one of their counterintelligence units here to talk about what you need to know about it. Live from the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis here on WGN. It's 1:48. There we go. I was waiting for that. How about that couple, the laughter couple? They not what I expected, but really, really a cool thing that they're doing, and not something I'd heard of before. Master Laughter Teachers. You can check them out again this Sunday downtown. We'll try to put some information about that up on our website here, WGNradio.com. Let's talk to Robin Jarique now. Now, this is we were talking about this earlier at the top of the show about sex education in Illinois schools and how it could be really changing and changing with the times so that sexting could become part of the curriculum. Lawmakers are saying it's necessary, it's needed that kids learn about middle schoolers, high schoolers, kids in all kinds of grades right there, really kind of young, middle school, but apparently they're already being exposed to the dangers of sexting, so they need to learn about it. Let's talk to Robin Drake. He is the ran one of the former FBI counterintelligence units, and here to talk about this whole thing. Robin, thanks for being on WGN.
Anna, thanks for having me on, and what an important topic we're talking about these days.
It is. You know, it's interesting because I don't think there is a parent alive who's raising a teenager or a middle schooler who feels as if they know as much about technology as their kids do. And then because of that, it's hard to track the dangers. I think it's probably sex education was ready for some kind of a makeover, a change, some updating. But what is it exactly that they're suggesting here? And what do you think about it?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, with the Innocent Lives Foundation, where I'm a board member of, you know, we spend most of our time, you know, we kind of divide it. We divide it between unmasking pedophiles and human traffickers online that are targeting our children so that we can turn them over to law enforcement. And the other half is we spent on education about how our children are being groomed for extortion by these pedophiles and bad guys online. And we didn't, you know, until this came up, I didn't really think, you know, because sexting kind of went to the wayside as we're focusing on trying to uncover the actual pedophiles. But what sexting actually does is it makes their job so much easier to target our children. So I think this is such an important topic. And, you know, you mentioned at the top of the hour, you know, for the intro, was this is so much different from when we went to school because technology has changed. And we cannot keep up with the technology and apps and everything that's out there. So it really comes down to, and it kind of goes to what your previous speakers were talking about, was relationships. You know, if we have these powerful relationships with our children, they'll be more open to share with us what's going on in their lives. So that's the only way we can protect them from these things.
So what would be an example of something that kids would have to learn about sexting? I mean, what would you tell them? Like, what would be lesson number one?
Lesson number one would be, do not share anything inappropriate, personal on the internet, through a phone, through a text, through any social media whatsoever, because it can be sexual. Even if it's a simple thing, you know, like a bikini shot or girls and guys at a gymnastics meet or at a swim meet, what these people that are targeting our children will do, they will take these things and sexualize them in any way they can, and then we're going to use them to get them at social and their social media sites and try to extort them. So, you know, the big thing is what sexting can lead into, you know, where they're doing it, they think with friends that it's okay. Well, once that thing gets out there, it can be tracked and grabbed by these bad guys and used as sextortion, where it kind of shames them into exposing more, and then you go down that dark path.
Yeah, I've covered stories like that in the past where they think it's harmless just to share one picture. You're right, you're
nope.
Only in a bathing suit, it's no big deal, but then it leads to just send me one more and I won't do whatever,
yep.
Or send me two more or do this, and then you're in, and it just seems like, I mean, I can't imagine a child or a teenager that this happens to, how that must feel, the effects that must happen.
Well, I know, and it's horrendous, because what they're doing is they're playing to, you know, your last talk, speakers were talking about dopamine. What happens is, at this age, they have a higher demand and need for dopamine because they're seeking validation and acceptance. And if they have any insecurities, they're, you know, and someone plays those insecurities, they're going to want to get validated, so their dopamine in their brain is going to flow. And so that's what lures them into doing these behaviors to begin with. And then once it starts, then these people start shaming them. And that's, you know, so it really comes down to having good, healthy, strong relationships. And we have this mantra, you know, with what we do, we call it TRUST. It's an acronym we use to create good, healthy relationships with our children.
Illinois would become only the second state to require teaching about sexting and sex education. It seems like maybe most sex education curriculums need to be updated a bit. One of the things in the House bill that is yet to be passed is it would require sex education curriculum in grades 6 to 12 to include material on the legal and social risks. What would be the legal risk? You talked a little bit about the social risks of sharing those sexually explicit images.
You know, I'm not an expert on the legalese of the age because it does vary from state to state. But basically, if you're sharing anything that's considered child pornography online and either posting it, sharing it, or trafficking it, that's illegal. And it doesn't matter at what age.
So it doesn't matter if it's your friend and you're underage and you're sharing an underage photo of somebody else that's your age or your friend. That doesn't matter.
No, underage photos are underage photos. Matter of fact, even our own organization, we actually have, you know, technology that we use so that we blur all the photos as we're searching for these pedophiles.
So what do you find that is surprising to the teenagers and what's surprising to the adults, having, you know, taught these classes or been trying to inform kids about these dangers over the years?
Probably that the number that goes on, I mean, just the recent stats, you know, 15.5% of 8-year-old girls have been exposed to sexting compared to 5.9% of boys. And by the age of 13, 24% of children were asked to send new photos or requested them themselves, according to this data. You know, so that is a huge number of children that are being exposed to these you know, things that they're really not appropriate at that age or really any age to be exposed to. And so they're placed in very adult situations at a very young age without adults supervising what's going on. So I think that's probably for me is the biggest shocker. And it's because of, again, the amount of nefarious, hardcore bad people in the world really hasn't changed, but their ability to infiltrate themselves into our children's lives, that's what's changed.
Can you find these people who are infiltrating? Is it difficult to do, to get the guys and women who are doing this?
Well, that's why we exist. You know, matter of fact, last year alone, I think we're up to 95 cases that we handed over to federal law enforcement. And out of each one of those cases, each one of those cases affects either anywhere from 6 up to 400 children that we've affected and impacted. And so what our experts do that our cyber researchers, they're on the dark web and they're finding these websites that these people are using anonymously to try to hide themselves. And with our techniques and tools, they're uncovering their true identities and then we're handing them over. So as fast as we're getting them, as fast as they're popping up. So it's a dual thing that we're trying to do. You want to have, you know, people like us, you know, that are working to prevent it. And at the same time, we need people like parents and teachers and people in these children's lives to keep them from doing it as well.
You obviously back the new sex education bill here in Illinois. You think it'll pass?
You know, we don't, as an organization, we don't, you know, back or not back any bills. But what I would say is I think it's a very, very good thing to have a conversation with children at this age. Mm-hmm. And whether that comes from at home, teachers or anything else, I think it's a great thing to do is have conversations because we ultimately want to protect our children.
That sounds right. Robin Dreek, appreciate your time, the former head of the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. And you're also a board member with Innocent Lives Foundation. So check that out as well. Thank you, Robin. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Anna.
You're listening to WGN. 2:07 is the time from the Skyline Studios. We're talking to Bella Gandhi right now of Smart Dating Academy. She's a Chicagoan. She founded this company years ago, and she is good at finding the right person for you if you're in that world where you're trying to find the right relationship. But she's just also kind of hip to the culture of relationships, which is, there's some new terms, people. It's changing. The language of love is changing. And we're going to talk about some of these terms that I just kind of boggle the mind. Bella's a Chicagoan, of course. Hey, Bella.
Hi.
You, I see you on the Dr. Oz. You obviously were a regular on the Steve Harvey Show. Many people saw you there. You're on Good Morning America, Today Show. So you're based here, but you kind of go everywhere talking about a lot of common themes in the relationship world.
Yeah, relationships. I mean, we're called Smart Dating Academy, so we help a lot of single people get out there and find love. But really, our company spans all relationships, right? I'm married. I've been married for over 20 years. And relationships ultimately define us, and not just romantic relationships, but also friendships. How do you know you're friends with someone who's toxic? When do you have to break up with the friend, right? Parenting relationships. So we talk about all of it.
It's so true. So many of these things that apply to the world when you're looking for a significant other or partner also apply to your other relationships in your life. And one of the examples here, this is fascinating to me because the language of love is truly changing. And if you look at some of the concepts, the new terms in relationships, it's you just look no further. And you totally, I honestly needed to look up almost every single one of these. None of these, I mean, ghosting, that's been out there for a while. Remind us what ghosting is. If people know this one, right?
Yeah, ghosting is when somebody literally vanishes on you like a ghost would. All of a sudden they're here and then they're gone. It could be somebody that you've been on two dates with. It could be somebody that you've been in a relationship with for 6 months and suddenly they just poof, vanish.
Okay.
Brutal. It's really hard.
Is it that hard just to say, hey, you know, I'm not interested or I don't really want to hang out anymore?
It's hard for some people, clearly, because they do it. And there are people that are afraid of conflict. They can't have the tough conversations. So do you think, as hurtful as it is, do you think this person would be a good bet long term? No. Mm. If they can't have a tough conversation now, you know what it's like to be married 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or you're in a long-term relationship. You have to be able to talk about the tough things and to navigate through them.
That's a great point. So here's another example. Mooning to most of us, it's not what it means now. That's not what it means at all. Okay, so here it is. When someone moons you, they turn off the notifications for your messages because they don't care what you have to say right now. So it comes from that little, the icon that shows up?
Do not disturb.
Yeah, the do not disturb sign. Lauren's familiar with this. And so when that moon comes up,
with it.
It's like, okay, I'm not interested in what you have to say right now. But, you know, it's fascinating because you look at, there's so many ways around the way this language is being communicated now. It's like, there's a lot of this that doesn't even, there's no kindness in any of this. It doesn't feel like anyone's just sort of being straight with people, which is goes to your earlier point of, isn't that important in a real relationship? Tell us about dial toning.
Dial toning is just basically giving your phone number out to somebody, but having no intention of ever talking to them. Like, if you're not interested in someone, it's okay. Or maybe you're on the fence. Let's say I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt if you're listening right now.
Okay.
Maybe you think, you know, you've had that third cocktail and you think, yeah, I'd be into this person. But tomorrow you're like, nah, not so much. Then just tell that person, listen, it was great meeting you, but I don't think we're a match. Don't just blow that person off, right? That creates bad blood and bad karma in the universe. What you put out comes back to you, people.
I believe that. Glamboozled, getting dressed up for a date, and the other person cancels on you in the last minute. 58% of singles say they can relate to doing that.
I've had clients that are literally already gussied up. You know, they're getting ready to get in an Uber or get on a bus to go downtown for their date.
It's a lot of work, right? Getting ready for the stuff.
And they hear from the person, oh, I'm so sorry, I fell asleep on the couch. Could we reschedule? Really? Get up off the couch.
Right.
Be respectful. Be 10 minutes late. Go brush your teeth. Zhuzh up and get out to your date.
What did you say?
Zhuzh up. Like, zhuzh make up. Yourself presentable. Zhuzh.
I'm going to use that. Zhuzh. Zhuzh up. Zhuzh yourself.
Zhuzh yourself up.
And so there again, though, you probably have eliminated the person based on that behavior, right? That's like, they basically told you they're not eligible of your time or worthy of your time and because of that behavior.
And they don't respect your time. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, you're going to fall asleep on the couch not thinking, oh, I might oversleep for a date. If it was really that important to you, you know what? You would set the alarm.
Eclipsing. This is something you see with married couples, too, and people who have been together for a short amount of time, long periods of time, too.
Yeah, it's taking on whatever your partner is interested in or passionate about and getting so into it that you kind of feel like these are now your own interests. So this can be a good thing, right? If you get interested in your partner's interest, so you have something to do. But if you're really just kind of faking it till you make it to show this person, oh, wow, look, I'm a great partner, I'm similar to you, ultimately, it's not really a good long-term bet for either of you because you're selling out on yourself and you're selling the wrong image to a partner.
Like the woman who pretends to love sports. You know, I've seen that with my friends. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's like really into sports. So I go to the game. I watch all the sport. I go to the sports bar. But really, then it just starts to get old. She's not really that interested in it. You know, and then it's like you're really if that's how he wants to spend his time, maybe that's not the right match.
Right. Or you can just say, hey, guess what? We can choose to spend games apart. I'm going to be at home cooking dinner or hanging out with my friends while you're at the game. Again, good relationships require what? Real, open, and honest communication.
Astonishingly, 50% of people say that they've done this, the eclipsing, taking on someone else's likes or interests just to kind of keep things going. Okay, all right. What else do you have in terms of the other dating terminology or relationship terminology that we should know about. The new terms. A labie. Labie is someone who's in a relationship but not happy about it. So they're on the cusp of being single. They're kind of scoping up potentials. While they're involved in one relationship, they kind of got one foot out the door.
They're in one, out on the other.
Is that a good person to go after?
No. No, because if they're doing that to someone else, they're going to do it to you. Right? Like, they've got a bench, it sounds like.
Yes, yes. Textationship is a relationship that involves only texting.
Yes, yes. I call those.
Can that happen?
Oh, absolutely. Right? There are people that are on dating apps for weeks and months that just keep texting people, right? I've had people literally, I mean, you can watch Catfish. You can listen to a lot of these crazy stories where people fall in love with each other, claim to be having these great relationships, and they've never met each other. They just message each other for years. We used to have to worry about sexual relationships only. Now it's textual.
Textual relationships. Okay.
Textual.
My favorite is Kanye'd. Kanye'd. What does it mean to get Kanye'd?
What it means to get Kanye'd. I mean, I wish I could see your faces and have people put their hands up about what it means to be Kanye'd.
Most people will relate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's being on a date with someone who wants to talk about their favorite subject, themselves.
The entire time.
Ding, 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 ding. The entire time.
That sounds familiar. I think that's not just in a dating situation. That's everywhere, right? No matter where you are socially, there's always one person in the group who does that.
There's a friend. There's a partner. There's a colleague. You've got a Kanye amongst you. We've all got a Kanye amongst us.
We do. And I don't know how to sometimes deal with that. All right. So we have more of the relationship terms, but also this is fascinating. You actually, your people at Smart Dating Academy, we're here with Bella Gandhi, the founder and CEO of that company. She's a Chicagoan. She came up with a graphic on how to spot a narcissist, put in real data, tried to explain this, and it's pretty unbelievable. And when you hear it, you'll relate to it. Then how to spot fake dating profiles as well. More to come here on WGN Radio. Our guest, Bella Gandhi, she is the founder, CEO of Smart Dating Academy. And she talks about relationships with us every Friday. And we're so happy you're here because we've learned so many new terms today. Just to recap a few, we knew about ghosting was when someone just sort of like ghosts on you, takes off and is no longer communicating with you. And suddenly, then there's mooning when you just sort of not like what it used to be. Mooning, it's not at all what it used to be. It means you silence your phone. The moon goes up, you know, that little icon. And then you no longer just don't want to deal with that person at that particular time. And you said glamboozled when you get all ready for a date and then somebody cancels at the last minute.
So
and then
rude.
The Kanye'd is the most relatable of all of it. Somebody talks about themselves throughout the entire evening or throughout the entire time you're with them. Not good. All not good.
Not good. And sometimes, you know, women will complain to me, not to pick on guys, but I hear from a lot of women that, you know, I go on these dates and these guys just want to talk about themselves the whole time. And so my advice is gently redirect the conversation to yourself. Like, oh, that reminds me of a time where I blah, blah, blah. And then so you've brought it back to yourself. And a lot of times what happens is then the guy will be like, And then, so anyway, like I was saying, Kanye.
Some people like that. I mean, you see couples where one person does all the talking, and that works for some people. Hey. And then you see a situation where you're like, okay, wait a minute. That's not, I need a little more give and take. I need a little more be part of this whole conversation.
For sure.
Got it. Yes. Yellow carding is when you call out people for their poor dating behavior. Would you do that in the middle of meeting somebody? Would you say something like that?
Just I mean, if it was egregiously rude, you know, why not? You know, if the guy, you know, was flirting with the waitress while you're sitting right there on a date, like that's really kind of rude. Or if he asks her out. I mean, in my world, truth is stranger than fiction. Right. That's not even yellow carding. That's just time to get up and leave.
That's a good. Is that what you advise people? Just, hey, you know what? Sunk costs are sunk. When you're in the middle and it's just not going, it's just say, hey, excuse me, I've got to go.
So I had a client go out on a date with a guy and he seemed really normal online. And when she got to the date and sat down with him, this is a Sunday at 5 p.m. date. He said to her, he's like, it's great to meet you. How about during this date, you call me daddy and I call you sister?
Whoa. You right. See where that's going.
I was like, and then you stand up and then you get an Uber. Truth is stranger than fiction.
You must see and hear everything, Bella Gandhi.
Everything.
I can only imagine, including you see narcissists, and you have put together a graphic that is really phenomenal, but you're going to tell us about it because you have simple steps on how to spot a narcissist. This isn't just when you're on a date, though. This is probably in your life, right? Work, play, you know, social life, whatever. Important to spot the narcissist because tend to be charming people, right?
They can really be charming. If you guys want to follow along with this, you can go to our site, smartdatingacademy.com. It's a free graphic right there on the homepage. Just download it, put your email, and you'll have it, and you can follow along. But yeah, narcissists are typically, they can be very charming. Essentially, it's kind of a mental illness born out of really low self-esteem, but narcissists really play like they are the coolest cats on earth. They're very dynamic. They're very charming. They're often dressed really well. They're often the person that lights up the room and tells great stories and everybody wants to be around, right? But you've got to know the signs to say, okay, this might just be a cool, gregarious, awesome person, or this may be a narcissist.
Okay, so how do you know it's a narcissist? What are some of the signs, Bella?
Well, number
two. Are they Kanye-ing you, by the way?
They could be Kanye-ing you, and you'll know a narcissist because ultimately they're very selfish, right? And they may accuse you of being selfish. You can give and give and give, and they will still call you selfish. For a narcissist, everything you can give is just not enough. They're typically, it's all take, 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 and they just want you to give, give, give. Never enough.
So that's a way to identify there really isn't going, you can't keep giving. You have to at some point realize that's not okay.
Yeah,
it's not working.
It's not okay. And they're really unfulfilling relationships. But the problem, when people have had relationships with narcissists, you know what they do again? They get into a relationship with another narcissist.
How does that work?
Because your coping skills become so high. You're so accustomed to dealing with someone's stuff and selfish people that you typically bound right back into relationships with those kinds of people. And another sign of being with a narcissist is they have what I call an exaggerated sense of self-importance. They think they're the bomb. They think they should be receiving VIP treatment. They don't think they should have to wait in lines. They cut people off in traffic. They should be treated like royalty, even if they're not Prince Harry.
Right. Needs constant compliments. That would be a tip off there, I would think. And then zero empathy. That's a tell.
That's a huge tell. I mean, these are, if you want to know if somebody's a clinical narcissist, you can consult the, you know, DSM-5, which talks about mental illness, and you need to have 7 signs and many different contexts. But really, zero empathy is a really big indicator that this person is a narcissist. They have no ability to put themselves in your shoes and say, gosh, what must that feel like if I said that, right? Zero empathy is a big check for someone who's potentially a narcissist.
Rage is another one. Number 6, they can have crazy episodes of rage, swearing, insulting, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I suppose anybody could fall into that category at some moment, right? Just something gets you angry enough, but this is more of a constant, like a characteristic, more of a constant behavior.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you find out, for example, your partner is cheating on you, you may correctly fly into a rage, okay? That's okay. Right. But if you're raging because somebody left the cap off the milk and you decide it's okay to throw the microwave at the person in the kitchen, that is not okay. And narcissists, again, everything you can do is never enough. You will always do the wrong thing, and that's why they're prone to fits of rage.
7, they often blame you for things they're doing. For example, they'll say you're so controlling.
You're so selfish. You're a liar. And they're lying to you. They're the selfish ones. So when you know you're with the narcissist, for example, if you're out on a date with someone and they tell you, oh, my boss is awful, my ex is crazy, she's poisoned my kids against me. If that person is playing the victim and blaming everybody else for their circumstances, I would say that's a red flag.
Right. Yes. It's such a problem for some people when you're involved with someone like that, because as you say, initially pull you in, they're charming, and then boom. But I want to ask you something, because you get asked questions from all kinds of people and all kinds of things, as you pointed out. If you see somebody who's involved in a relationship with somebody you dated in the past, or you know something bad about them, you know they're a narcissist, you know they've cheated, whatever, would you advise to go and tell, as an ex, to go tell the new person about that? Is that something you would warn a new person, or do you stay out of it? What do you think about
that? It depends on your relationship with the person.
Mm-hmm.
If the person is your friend, which would be weird if they were dating one of your exes. That's a whole nother topic. But if you had a good relationship with this person that was dating the narcissist, I would tread it carefully and wait for several months, not right away, because then they might just think you're jealous or envious. But really, once 4, 5, 6 months go by, have coffee with the person and just say, how's your relationship going? And see if there's a good time. If that person seems to go, you know, sometimes he gets into these crazy fits of rage. You can be like, I know.
That happened
to me. I saw that too. Just be wary. It's only going to get worse.
You told us initially January was the big peak season for dating.
Yeah.
Which seems strange because it's wintertime and it feels like, you know, getting out is harder to do. But it seems like more and more dating is online. And also a high peak season for divorce in January. Why is that?
You know, if your relationship has been falling apart for years, a lot of people, you know, over the holidays and then New Year's comes along and they've made a resolution to never spend holidays with this human being again.
Mm-hmm.
And so resolutions drive a lot of changed behavior, a lot of dipping your toe into the dating pool, a lot of research on divorce. Like, I'm done. Game over.
Yeah. It's it's hard. It's tempting because if you see someone falling into a trap that maybe you fell into, or you know something about somebody, whether you dated them or not, that's bad. I think part of me would want to go and say something, but it really can backfire on you, can't it?
It really can. Even in close friendships, it can backfire.
Yeah.
Right? Even with the best of intentions. So usually it's just good to be the empathetic friend who is with this person. You can go and listen. And at a certain point, if you want to give that feedback to the person, ask permission. This is a really good trick, guys, mm-hmm. that you can do. And it's not a trick, but it's a really good way to say something to someone that you want to, that doesn't come off as just advice driven or negative. Just say, could I give you a little feedback around that? Or could I offer something?
Mm-hmm.
And if that person says yes, they have just literally opened up their mind to being in a receiving energy for what you're going to tell them.
Yeah, I like how you phrase that. She's got a lot of answers. Bella Gandhi, Smart Dating Academy. And tell them if they're going to get Kanye'd too.
If you're going to get Kanye, go download that infographic at smartdatingacademy.com.
Smartdatingacademy.com, place to go. Thank you, Bella. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Good seeing you. Coming up here on WGN Radio, 100 Things to Do in Chicago. In the wintertime, we have the author of 100 Things to Do in Chicago Before You Die. She has a special list for you, our listener, and she's going to share it with us after the news, the bottom of the hour. Thank you, Steve. In studio here with us is one of my favorite guests. Molly Page is her name. She is the author of 100 Things to Do in Chicago Before You Die, which is this awesome book. You should check it out. I've seen the global one, but this is the Chicago one, right, Molly?
Yes.
You came up with this idea and you're like, hey, people need to know these places. And you're a docent as well.
I am. Yeah, I have lived a couple places around the country, but the minute that I came to Chicago, I knew that this was home. And I just started researching and digging in, and the Architecture Center really helped me in the training, and that relationship led to a relationship with a publisher, which got me this book. So it's kind of been, hey, wonderful.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
On all of that.
Yeah.
The book came out when we had you on. It was recent.
Yeah. Well, actually, the book's been out a little while. Yeah. But I like to share different things for each season, mm-hmm. because it seems like we can get in a rut, right? Like, we find what we know that we like to do. And, you know, in the wintertime, one of the things that I like to do is curl up under a blanket and stay on my couch.
Totally. But, all. That's right. Then you have to get some really big offer to get off the couch.
That's right. So that's why I find that the sharing stuff that to do in the wintertime can be the most rewarding, because you got to, like you said, really tempt people out of those comfy places to get out, because there's still so much fun to be had in the city, even though it's a little chilly or there's threats of storms.
This around this weekend. This is why it's the perfect weekend to talk about this, because the winter weather's coming in and you need big motivators to get off the couch.
That's right.
All right. So you have the list.
I have a few to share today. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So the Department of Cultural Affairs has named 2020 the year of Chicago music. And so I thought I would bring a couple ideas of ways to see great live music around the city.
Okay.
The first one is coming up very soon this weekend. There's an MLK tribute concert, the Chicago Symphonette. I believe I'm saying that right. I hope I am. Yes, that's it.
Okay.
You got it.
I've been to some of theirs before. They had a really cool Dia de los Muertos event about a year ago. They just do a really awesome take on symphony.
Themed events, right? Mm-hmm. And so January 19th and 20th, they're doing an MLK tribute concert. And what I was excited to find out about this is that one of the concerts on Sunday at 3 is in Naperville at the Wentz Concert Hall. I checked online before I came. There's still a handful of tickets available.
Go get them.
So that's Sunday afternoon. And then Monday evening, they'll be at the Symphony Center downtown here in the Loop. So definitely a fun way to celebrate the holiday and hear some live music.
Molly, so with your background in architecture.
Yes.
And you're a docent with the Chicago Architecture
Center. Yeah. Yes.
So you must kind of fall in like the way of the doing cultural things and loving the architecture and just celebrating the city.
Yes.
Are you a big fan of the restaurants, the entertainment scene? Obviously the music scene.
Oh, yes. And this is a great time of year to be a fan of the Chicago restaurant scene because Chicago Restaurant Week is coming up.
I forgot about that. That's right. It's this Sunday or when does it start?
So it starts January 24th.
24th.
And it runs for 17 days through February 9th. And if you're unfamiliar with this event, which I know you're not, but some of the listeners may be, it's an event where more than 400 restaurants around the city put together these price fix menus, and you can come in for brunch, lunch, or dinner. You pay one affordable price, and try out some of the great places to eat around the city. As I was looking through the website today, I realized that they've really expanded the offerings, and there are more than 50 restaurants out in the suburbs this year. So not just the typical
the whole area.
Yeah, it's really the whole Chicagoland area. So I'm just having an idea. If you want to stay underneath your blanket this weekend, maybe you look up Chicago Restaurant Week and spend a little time. There's a website that breaks down all of the restaurants. You can search by type of food. You can search by neighborhood. You can search by, what are the other things that you can search by? Anyway, you can search by all different types of
neighborhoods.
Yeah. And make your plans because you want to make reservations at some of these places. And right from that website, you make your reservation and boom, you're accomplishing things and you're snuggling at the same time.
We'll try to get that website to people. Do you know the name of it?
Actually, Choose Chicago.
Choose
Chicago.
The tourism site.
If you go to choosechicago.com, it's one of the featured things on their site right now.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So that's something to check out. So the 24th, which means next a week from today, when Restaurant Week starts.
And it's called Restaurant Week, but like I said, it lasts 17 days.
Oh.
So it's not...
it's a little more than a week. It gives you some time.
That's right. To plan a little bit.
So the author, Molly Page, of 100 Things to Do in Chicago Before You Die, is talking a couple of things to do in Chicago in the wintertime.
That's right.
How many of the things to do before you die would be things you'd want to do in the winter?
You know, I would say,
if you had to sort of,
I would say probably a third of them, because some of them are inside cozy things like listening to music, right, or places to eat. There are definitely some things that are better to do in the summertime, you know, because they're parks or things like that. But you know, there's plenty to do, as I said, plenty to do. And there are a few things that are solely being done in the wintertime, which we talked about last time, like the ice skating or things around the holidays. So yeah, plenty to do in the city this time.
I like
time
to go
year.
To restaurants with nice fireplaces this time of year.
Isn't that great?
Isn't it?
Have you been, this just popped into my head, thinking of fireplaces. Have you been to the Chicago Athletic Association Hotel?
Oh, I just went to an event there, and I was absolutely wowed. Out of my mind.
Yes, their second floor lobby area has these beautiful old fireplaces. It's such a nice place to get cozy, have a little drink. Because there's several restaurants in that.
There's another one that's up kind of overlooking the city.
Cindy's, on the 14th floor, it overlooks.
Gosh, that place is spectacular.
I know.
Where does this come from?
Yeah, and then the Cherry Circle Room is there, so there's yummy, that's like more of a steakhouse. So yeah, Lots to do in that beautiful building.
What else would you suggest, Molly?
Well, you know, this time of year, one of my favorite things to do is head out to the Garfield Park Conservatory. Mm. When it's gray and chilly outside, you walk in the Garfield Park Conservatory, which, by the way, is always free. You walk in, it's kind of warm, it's green. On the weekends, they have all kinds of nice programming for families, tours and composting seminars. They have juice box concerts for kids at 11 on Saturday. And you can walk through and experience the living green, right? Forget that there are white skies outside.
Like, see a plant, right?
That's right.
That's not in hibernation.
Soak it in that warmth.
It seems like we have festivals, but of course they're indoors this time of year as well.
Yeah.
Summertime is so obvious. There's something, no matter where you look, it's all over the place. In winter, I feel like you got to look for it a little bit.
Well, and there is. I'll tell you, there's one coming up on Northerly Island. They do this three times, I believe, throughout the wintertime, and it's coming up, I think it's January 25th on Northerly Island. It's called Polar Adventure Days.
Okay.
And
that
so,
fun.
Yeah. So from noon to four, they have live animals. There are winter activities. Hopefully, there'll be some snow on the ground. You can do some snowshoeing or make some crafts with your family. But you got to bundle up because it's outside in January.
Well, I'm not opposed to that if it's a really cool experience.
Right.
And why not?
What do we say here in Chicago? Like, no bad weather, just bad gear. You just have
you got to have the right gear.
That's right.
You have to gear up. And we're all tough because we've lived through Chicago winters and we survived the polar vortex. I mean, we can go outside in this.
We can handle this.
This is not a problem.
This is what earns us our Chicago cred, right?
It's so true.
This is what earns us our Chicago
cred. This is why LA people leave. This is when they leave this time of year. They're like, no, I didn't sign up for that. No, so the Chicago architecture, is there anything you recommend when it comes to that, since that is sort of your power alley of expertise?
Well, speaking of being chilly and being outside, you know, our tours at the Chicago Architecture Center run all year long.
All year.
I mean, there are hardy docents.
There's the boats?
The boats do not, but our walking tours all year long. And so hardy docents are out taking brave people out on the streets and exploring the city, learning all about the incredible architecture that we have. And now that we have the center itself, if you're not feeling so brave or you don't have the right gear, you can explore the architecture center and be warm.
How about that?
All year long. It doesn't matter if it's raining, if it's cold, if it's, it's a museum celebrating architecture.
Remind us where that is, Molly, where people go.
It's just right here on Wacker.
It's right below us, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty much right.
Columbus and Wacker.
Right.
You go down to the river and there's this little opening.
Well, that's where you can jump on the river cruises.
Oh,
when the weather gets a little warmer, that's down at river level is where you can hop on the boats. But all year long, the center is on Upper Wacker. It's right there on Wacker. Yeah,
right
near Michigan.
Just off of Michigan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I wish I'm getting a slap on the hand right now from my fellow docents for not knowing the address. But
we'll find it.
architecture.org and it will take you there.
Great place to go. Molly Page is our guest, and thank you for coming by. 100 Things to Do in Chicago Before You Die is the book you're working on, a second edition.
I am. I've got 100
congratulations.
More things to share.
There's more. Can keep going with us. I mean, this city is just spectacular, and I know you're moving into the suburbs and the whole area too. So keep the ideas coming. Thank you, Molly.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Trending stories are coming up here on WGN, including, did you see the richest man in Illinois? He got his name was called out by President Trump the other day, and he wasn't there. More on that coming up. From the Skyline Studio, Anna DeVlantis, Steve Bertrand has stepped into the studio. So has Lauren Lapka, as we discuss trending topics, the things people are sharing and caring about right now this afternoon. One of them is this. Did you see the president gave a shout out to Chicago billionaire Ken Griffin as he announced the phase one of that trade deal with China? And he was calling out CEOs in the crowd, and he's asked by calling him by name. And then he got to the name of the richest man in Illinois, hedge fund founder Ken Griffin. Here's a little bit of the audio from that.
Ken Griffin, Citadel. What a guy he is. Where are you, Ken? Where the hell is he? He's trying to hide some of his money. Look, he doesn't want to stand up. Where the hell is Ken? See, Steve, you'll stand, and he's very quiet about it. He's in here someplace. He just doesn't want to stand.
Awkward moment, right? He wasn't there.
Well, you know, that's so typical of the president, where he doesn't just like gloss by it. You know, he just keeps waiting and expecting it to happen.
He
did
never
you
showed
say
up.
Knew what he RSVP'd?
Well, but he did. A West Wing staffer was interviewed and said that, yeah, Griffin did RSVP and said he would attend. We thought he was going to be there. Ken Griffin's camp is saying no, no, no. He was invited, but he confirmed, confirmed he was unable to attend.
Either way, that's a staffing issue, right? The White House staff. You don't put that name in front of the president unless the guy's in the room.
Yeah. Even if he does RSVP.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was, it was sort of a, you blame the staff on that. I guess
absolutely.
We'll go with that. But he was not there, and when he was called out, and he's notoriously very shy, too, about being in media.
Right.
He doesn't give a lot of interviews. I mean, you've
covered. He's a fascinating guy.
He really is. Started his company here in Chicago.
I think it was out of his dorm room in Harvard, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, then built it here,
built
Citadel,
it here,
and
yeah.
it's just been phenomenally
could be that smart.
Successful.
He does a lot of, he's very conservative, does a lot of great philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday. Is it Friday?
Yes.
It is Friday. Yeah.
Wow, is it ever?
It's gray
today.
Out Friday.
Yeah.
Tired Friday.
So the president also announced today, and you were covering this in the news, Steve, that he has hired some new attorneys, including Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr, to join his team. That includes a UFC grad, University of Chicago grad, too.
Who is Ken Starr?
No, there is another. There's a University of Chicago grad on his team already. That made news this week.
One of, Ken Starr, one of his associates or assistants in the Clinton investigation, also was named today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. I mean, Alan Dershowitz. Now, Dershowitz, again, later today said, well, I'm not a full-fledged member. So I don't know exactly what that means.
Caveat.
I know, exactly.
It's always something, you know, it's like, okay, but the White House is saying he's part of the team.
Right.
But somehow figure that one out. Did you hear about this one, too? Major League Baseball now has its first female coach.
Yeah, that is so cool.
What?
So groundbreaking. I'm so excited to hear that.
What is she going to coach? I know she's with the Giants.
She's an assistant.
Mm-hmm. Assistant, like, so not a bench, not on the bench.
No.
Okay.
Her name is Alyssa Nakin, and she's a former softball standout at Sacramento State. She joined the club as an intern a couple years ago in operations. So now she's going to be there, a first for the
good for her.
Major League Baseball. So it's not just celebrity women who wear the shapewear. James Corden, the host of The Late Late Show, says he wears Spanx under his suits at night when he's on air.
Hey,
he's
whatever on makes you feel comfortable.
He's like made this admission. I don't know why it's shocking, but I think maybe a lot of men do wear
I get those now. I don't know what I clicked on, but I get Instagram ads
you
for
do?
These shirts that, you know, are like highly elasticy and so, you know, pound
yes.
your gut. Is that what Spanx are kind
of? Well, there's shapewear of all kinds. There's for upper body, there's lower body, there's upper and lower.
There's like full body.
There's stuff that does, pushes everything everywhere you want it to go. They have all those. So they have them for men, too. And he admitted, he had an interview, a sit-down. He goes, you know, this is how I do it because I'm not exactly a slim guy.
Right.
And so I put this shapewear on and it gives me that silhouette, you know, that nice, clean silhouette. That's what he does. All right, should the new James Bond be a woman? The film's producer says, quote, not particularly interested in that. And she's a female, okay? So here's what she told Variety. Barbara Broccoli, who oversees the franchise with her half-brother, Michael G. Wilson, said that while Bond can be played by an actor of any race, fine with that, should not be played by a woman. It just feels as if Bond is a woman, is not a woman.
But isn't, like, his leader, the woman, also technically an old 007 agent?
I think that's gone back and forth, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is
but,
that
yeah, but
the
you're
case?
Right, so she would have been an agent. At the,
right.
But not the Bond character.
Right.
Not that they couldn't be an agent, but
so
that couldn't be the Bond character.
Not necessarily Bond, but just 007, that whole intelligence agency, whatever they are.
MI6, was it MI6?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
M6, yeah. MI6.
M17, I mean, whatever
it
takes.
Oh my gosh, we're forgetting it. But she does believe in strong female characters, thinks there needs to be new characters that are women, that are really good characters, but just not in this particular role. So she just, that's what she says. And so we're not going to see that. There was something trending about make her female this time with all this, you know, empowerment in Hollywood and trying to get more female characters. And she's like, that's not going to happen.
Hopefully down the line.
I do miss Judi Dench, though. You know, the Judi Dench and the Bond films. Okay, Chicago will still smell like chocolate even after the Blommer store closes. So that store is closing in the West Loop, and you can smell the chocolate wafting
like the brownies
in the neighborhood. It's like the smell that a lot of people just love. It's Kinsey and Des Plaines in the West Loop neighborhood. And some Chicagoan even came up with a map to describe where you could actually
get the whiff,
right? And across the street is a chocolate park. Which is, they call it, it's not, it's got another name, but everybody calls it the Chocolate Park. Because the whole time you're there, you smell the chocolate. So they say they're closing the store. That made news. But the smell will continue, and the jobs will stay there, too. So that's a good piece of that whole thing. They're closing the retail store to make way for expansion of that facility.
So more chocolate smells, maybe?
Maybe eventually? Even more. Right? More chocolate, more space. It's all happening.
All on board with that.
Yes. And then this. Are you on board with this? The editorial in the Sun-Times. Interesting take on that plan to ban styrofoam containers from Chicago restaurants.
Yeah.
Heard about that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to ask for the straws if you want them. You got to ask for the plastic utensils.
Yep.
That's what they're considering in city council. And they're saying basically, hey, it's, you know, I don't even know if it's about saving the world, nice as that may be, but protect our food and our drinking water right here. They're talking about how they found in that study that the plastics break down into microplastics, and you can't even see them. They're really small, and they get into Lake Michigan. They're in Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. They've studied this and found 22 million pounds of plastic debris in the Great Lakes, is the estimation, and that the ultraviolet rays break down the plastic into tiny fibers, and then they get into the fish, and we eat the fish, and they get into the groundwater,
right? Yeah.
And they get in the drinking water, the beer that you make it from. And
what?
Beer. Beer's affected. Now
that's
I got your attention. It'll. You know, I wonder if that'll pass. It seems as if there's a lot of support for that, even though we seem to be kind of up out front on this, even more so than we usually are.
You know what? We're in a new era where where the mayor doesn't control everything, and where one faction of the city council doesn't control everything. So, I mean, I think everything's up in the air sort of right now.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they find a replacement that restaurants can use that is economically sound, I don't see why it wouldn't pass.
Because that's what they say. The small mom and pops are the ones that might be harmed the most, that they've already seen labor costs go up with the minimum wage going up and the tipped worker wage going up. And so now
taxes on eating out at restaurants, a lot of people might not be going out as much.
But wouldn't it be a savings if you don't have to give out as much plastic utensils?
Well, you'd have to give out something. Sharon and I, we only eat at Medieval Times now. Because you eat with your hands.
Big turkey legs and things like that.
I love the world.
Very eco-friendly you are, both of you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Happy birthday to Golden Girl, Oak Park native, Betty White.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
95.
8.
98?
Yeah, 98.
Oh, my gosh.
It looks like 95. Not a day over 70.
She's 98 years young today. So she's adding another candle, and she just said her secret. And this you can feel when you see her anytime. You see her interviewed her in a role. Accentuate the positive in life, not the negative.
So true.
Isn't it? And she says her diet, her favorite items include vodka, hot dogs, and probably in that order.
I love
likes the hot dogs, even though she's a big celebrity. I love that.
She's the best.
Love that. She is the best. And the inside of your coffee maker is absolutely disgusting if you haven't checked it for a while. They are looking at bacteria, yeast, and mold. It's all growing in your machine unless you clean it all the time. So whether it's a fancy one, a Keurig, a little, you know, simple one, just a little coffee pot, or like one of those big espresso machines, people aren't cleaning them enough, finding.
Oh, great.
We're all alive.
It's making us tougher.
It doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger,
exactly.
Right?
Right.
Coffee. So use vinegar, they say, in water, and give it a little detox if you haven't done that in a while. That's going to do it for Trending Topics. We're going to check in with Rokan, see what he's got on his show coming up here on WGN.